Welcome to the Fed Life Podcast with Dan Seip from Serving Those Who Serve. In this podcast, Dan draws from years of financial experience to help federal employees overcome challenges that every Fed can relate to. Join us for this journey as we reach, teach, and serve to help you make the right financial decisions. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome. For this episode of the Fed Life Podcast, I am your host again, Dan Seip. Additionally, as always, I'm the branch manager here at Serving Those Who Serve and Lee Seip & Associates. I always like to begin the same way. Hopefully you're used to it right now. Thanking you for taking the time to listen. And again, and most importantly, thank you for your service. You don't hear it enough, but you're going to hear it here. We are back again today with a part two with the incomparable, easy Ed Zirndorfer. He is the guru. He is the professor. You pick a superlative and he's got it. And he's here once again as part of our ongoing mission to reach, teach, and serve you. And as always, have to say, so I stay on the right side of my compliance department at the outset, that the opinions of our guest Ed Zirndorfer are not necessarily the opinions of Raymond James or Serving Those Who Serve. This podcast is presented for information only and is not intended to be taken as advice. All listeners should consult their personal advisors before taking any action. Alrighty, Ed, in honor of open season for FEHB, we're back here with part two of our conversation. And today we're going to be talking about the Federal Employees Dental and Vision Program, or FedVIP, or FedVIP. Folks, if you hear something in this and you're not in a position to write it down, don't worry. We've got you covered because Ed's second FedZone article for the month will cover this. And you can find that at blog.stwserve.com, blog.stwserve.com. As I always like to do, let's begin with some history. Federal Employee Dental and Vision Benefits Enhancement Act of 2004 provided OPM the opportunity to establish arrangements under which supplemental dental and vision benefits are made available to federal employees, retirees, and their dependents. So dental and vision benefits in this case, for all of the enrollees, it's on an employee or enrollee pay-all basis. So the program allows dental vision insurance to be purchased on a group basis, which should be more competitive as far as the premiums are concerned, no pre-existing condition limitations, and premiums for enrolled federal and postal employees are withheld from the salary on a pre-tax basis. Yes. So, Ed, tell us about FedVIP.
Well, FedVIP, the Federal Employees Dental Vision Insurance Program, started back in 2007. Employees and annuitants are eligible for it. I want to clear up one possible misunderstanding. Does one have to be enrolled in the Federal Employees Health Insurance in order to be eligible to enroll in the Federal Employees Dental Vision Insurance?
Well, do they?
The answer is no. The key word here, Dan, is the fact that if they're eligible to enroll in the Federal Employees Health Insurance, they can enroll, they're eligible to enroll in the Dental and Vision Insurance Program.
Okay.
The key word here is eligible.
Okay.
If somebody is not eligible to enroll in the Federal Employees Health Insurance, give you an example. Somebody who's a temporary employee is not eligible to enroll in the Federal Employees Health Insurance, so therefore cannot enroll in the separate dental vision insurance program.
Gotcha.
I want to point out this is a separate program. One enrolls in a different website than they do or fills out a different form than you do when they enroll in the Federal Employees Health Insurance.
Okay. And the open season is at the same time, runs on the same dates?
Yes. To repeat, this year's upcoming open season for health insurance, dental, vision insurance, flexible spending accounts, it starts on November 11th, 2019 and ends on December 9th, 2019.
Okay. And in my reading, this plan actually covers feds and our folks in uniformed service, correct?
That is correct. About 2 years ago, the uniformed services dropped their dental and insurance for military retirees. So if you're a military retiree and you were previously enrolled in the military dental insurance, you no longer have that plan. You are eligible to enroll in the federal dental and vision insurance during the open season.
Okay. But you have to enroll as one or the other. So if you happen to be both, if you have the military retiree and current Fed, you're going to enroll as one or the other, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, how about eligibility for family members? Is that kind of the same as the FEHB plan?
Almost, Dan.
Okay.
Almost. There are three types of coverages under the Fed, so-called FedVIP. You have self-only, the employer annuitant. You have self plus one, that's the employer annuitant, plus one eligible family member, a spouse. Mm-hmm. And here's the difference. A child or children under the age of 22.
That is different.
Okay. As opposed to FEHB, where it's a child is has to be under the age of 26.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And self and family, so that's the employee annuitant and multiple family member spouse and children with no limit under the age of 22.
Okay. Question, and this might be off the beaten path. Someone who's disabled and a dependent, would they stay in this plan, be able to stay in this plan longer like they can in FEHB?
Yes, that's also the case. For a child that was disabled before the age of 22, or rather 18, I think it's 18, could stay in the federal employees' dental vision insurance plan just like they can with the FEHB.
Okay,
it's
great.
The same.
All right. Now, you mentioned something interesting in your FedZone article with there are some FEHB plans that might have some dental and vision coverage in them.
That's correct. I particularly, I'm enrolled in the Federal Employees Health Insurance, GEHA, and there mm-hmm. is some dental coverage.
Okay.
Give an example. You could, up to two visits, dental visits a year is covered. Not all of it, but it is covered. It does cover some, maybe some fillings, some restoration work, things like that. Nothing major, mm-hmm. but the major expenses such as orthodontics is not covered in the health insurance plans. Mm-hmm. This is where the dental insurance comes into play. That if someone expects some very extensive mm-hmm. repair on their teeth, or let's say orthodontics, this is where the separate dental vision dental insurance comes into play.
Gotcha. Okay. And so now I'm going to step back into the role that I always do here. So I'm a Fed and I'm eligible and I'm interested. How do I enroll?
Okay. In order to enroll in the dental and or vision, and it's the same program, you don't have to have both dental and vision. They're two separate insurances.
Okay.
During the open season, you go to the website. I'll say it slowly. www.benefeds.com. That's where you enroll or disenroll. If you're in the plan this year, but you want to get out of it for next year, you actually have to disenroll. If you want to change your dental and or vision insurance plan, you go to the website, www.benefeds.com.
Okay.
There are, for 2020, there are 10 dental insurance plans available, and there are 4 vision insurance plans that are available nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do want to mention about the premium costs for the dental and or vision insurance plans, because
okay.
what you pay for dental insurance and employees and annuitants pay 100% of the cost. There is no contribution from the federal government for the cost of dental or vision insurance. What an individual pays for dental insurance depends on actually 4 factors.
Mm-hmm.
1, the type of plan they're going to. You have a choice of 10 plans.
Okay.
2, the type of coverage, self plus one, self and family.
Makes sense.
And within the dental plans, you have various levels of coverage, A, B, C, and D. A mm-hmm. is basic. Go all the way up to D, which is the most intensive care, like orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 4th factor that comes into play here, and that is what part of the country or world do you live in?
Okay.
Because if you live in a more expensive area of the country, such as here, Washington,
sure.
D.C., you live in New York, you live in Boston, California, you live in, let's say you're stationed in Europe, mm-hmm. And you're living in a very expensive area, you'll pay more for the dental insurance than you will if you're living, let's say, for a particular plan than if you're living in a cheaper area of the country.
That makes sense.
With the vision insurance, the cost depends on the type of plan you're in. The plan you choose. You have up to 4 plans to choose from, and the type of coverage, self plus one, self and family. There is no regional cost factor for the vision insurance plans.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, I noticed in your article, and I love it when you do this, because it really gives our Fed some tangible things. You list three questions that a Fed should ask as part of evaluating enrollment in FedVIP. What are they?
Those three questions are, before you enroll in any particular plan, an employee or annuitant should ask the following question. Does the employee or a member of their family expect to incur significant dental or vision insurance expenses during 2020?
Okay.
Dental insurance, vision insurance is like any other type of insurance, Dan. The idea of insurance is you're paying a relatively small amount of money to protect yourself against a financial catastrophe.
Okay.
If you expect in 2020 to really have some real expensive expenses when it comes to dental or vision insurance, for example, suppose someone has a child who, let's say, is getting close to that age where they're going to need orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
Orthodontics can cost anywhere for treatment, anywhere, let's say, from $4,000 to $6,000.
Oh,
total.
I know, Ed.
Both have been through it. Four children, probably.
Beautiful smiles now, but yep.
We paid for it. Then it would probably be a good idea for the employer annuitant to enroll in the dental insurance with the idea that over the next couple of years, they're going to be paying for orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone has some real expensive treatment expected when it comes to treat, let's say they're for the teeth, they need crowns, bridges, the whole nine works. So they need to enroll in the dental insurance now in order to have coverage in 2020.
Okay.
But let's say in 2020, they have their treatment, everything is concluded, and they don't expect any more extensive dental expense, incur any extensive dental expenses in 2021. Then next year around this time during open season, you would disenroll with the insurance. The idea being that you're paying this relatively small amount of money to protect yourself from premiums in order to protect yourself against a financial catastrophe. I just want to add one more thing. Before somebody chooses a particular plan, they need to make sure that their favorite dentist, their favorite orthodontist, their ophthalmologist, their favorite optometrist accepts the insurance. Your insurance is only as good as the doctors, dentists, optometrists, ophthalmologists that accept it. Homework before you enroll in a particular plan. So that's the first question. Here's the second question.
Mm-hmm.
If, let's say an employee or annuitant expects themselves or a member of the family to incur some extensive dental or vision expenses during 2020.
Sure.
Would they be better off, let's say, instead of buying insurance, to self-insure? How do I define self-insure? You set aside the money yourself, let's say in a very liquid savings account, or if you're an employee, into a healthcare flexible spending account.
Okay.
Or a health savings account. We'll be talking about those accounts in future podcasts.
Sure.
In order to pay for their expenses directly rather than going to the insurance company.
Gotcha.
I call that self-insuring. What is the advantage of that? Well, let's say the expected treatment is not as expensive as expected. Well, you're only going to pay out the costs that are actually incurred. If you have to end up paying out less, that money you set aside is still yours, as opposed to enrolling in an insurance plan in which you paid premiums and you actually didn't get your full, I call it, money's worth.
Sure.
Okay. Those premium dollars are going to be lost. So I call that self-insuring. And as I say, we're going to be talking about the healthcare FSA. There's also another type of flexible spending account called a limited expense flexible spending account that will pay only for dental and vision insurance.
Okay.
One other question I ask the employees, and that is, that before they enroll in a particular federal employee's health dental or vision insurance plans, keep in mind the fact that the federal government contributes nothing to the cost of dental and
Very
or
true.
Vision insurance. They yep. do not. The employees and annuitants pay the full cost of dental and vision insurance. So, which means that an employee, an annuitant, has nothing to lose to see what they're going to pay on if they went on the outside and bought an individual dental or vision insurance plan from, say, an insurance agency, an insurance broker who will sell them a particular plan for themselves and for the family. The only thing I do want to point out that's an advantage of the FedVIP is that an employee who enrolls in the dental and or vision insurance will have their premiums always deducted pre-tax.
Sure.
Whereas if they went on the outside, they have to pay their premiums for an individual dental vision insurance plan for post-tax dollars.
And that, unless they go up over 10%, I remember that from an earlier podcast.
That's right. So they'd have to exceed 10% of their adjusted gross income in these premiums plus other expenses out of pocket in order to deduct them. An annuitant, Dan, does not have that choice. They always have their premiums deducted post-tax. So in that sense, because annuitant pay, the government pays nothing for the cost of dental or vision insurance.
Might make
for
sense annuitant. To shop around.
It does make sense to shop around. Do your homework. But again, please keep in mind, whatever plan or plans you're looking at, do make sure your favorite dentist, optometrist, ophthalmologist does accept the insurance before you enroll.
Makes perfect sense to me. And hey, I got to thank you for a great segue here because you started talking about the HSA. So now let's shift gears and talk a little bit about an add-on that I got to say and again, folks, we talked about this before. Ed's like the dean of the medical school, and I'm more like Bones from Star Trek. I'm just a simple country doctor. So I'm out here with folks, and they many times don't really understand the benefits that someone can get from a healthcare spending account, HSA, or the cousin healthcare flexible spending account. But we've got a little bit of time left. Let's talk a little bit on that. I know you haven't written on it yet in the Fed Zone. I suspect you will. So let's do a little bit of an introduction now, and we can follow up a deeper dive to coincide with a future article. These are interesting options, but as you correctly point out, we really need to think our way through selecting them and using them, correct?
That's correct. They're not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like anything, it's like a menu. Some people, food agrees with them. Some people it doesn't.
Very true.
But, they can be very useful if used correctly.
Mm-hmm. So, let's hit the basics. One, because even though I'm not a Fed, you know, these are available for private sector as well. So I'm a consumer. First thing, you have to have a high deductible health plan. So what does that mean?
Well, we're talking now about the healthcare. We're talking about the HSA, the health savings account. Those are the ones. The requirement to have an HSA is, number one, you have to be enrolled in a high deductible health insurance plan. And the IRS every year defines what is a high deductible health insurance plan. Mm-hmm. For 2019, for example, and actually, I think they came out with their 2020 rates yet, but I'm off the top of my head, don't remember what they were. Let's look at 2019. If an individual in 2019 wanted to enroll in have a HSA, and the person has self-only coverage, mm-hmm. then the plan that they're enrolled in must have a deductible of at least $1,350. If the person has self plus one coverage or self and family, the deductible has to be at least $2,700.
Gotcha.
Now people say, "Whoa, that's a high deductible. That's a real lot of amount of money you have to pay out of pocket before the insurance will start paying out for my care." Well, under the Affordable Care Act, certain things when it comes to care, your healthcare needs are covered what's called first dollar. What on your first dollar? You don't have to meet the deductible in order to have insurance pay for the cost of let's say a doctor visits. And one thing is so-called well visits.
Okay.
When you go for your annual well visit, it's covered from first dollar. You don't have to meet the deductible.
Okay.
If you have, let's say, a mammogram, a woman has a mammogram, that's covered. If you have a colonoscopy, you're required to have one. God knows.
Gee, thanks, Ed. That's covered for first dollar. Wow, great.
been through it six times, Dan.
Oh, as have I. Okay. Not okay. I don't want to get letters on this. Everybody should take care of their health.
But they are covered first dollar. If you have to go to a stop smoking,
they kind of should be, Ed. They kind of should be. Is all I'm saying. So. And again, not being flippant there. One question, just to help clarify for the folks that might be listening. So it could, from a standpoint of the coverage and the program provider, if I'm used to Blue Cross, I could probably find one with Blue Cross. If I'm used to GEHA, they may have one as well.
Yes, but they have to be so-called fee-for-service plans. An HMO like Kaiser will not have a high deductible health insurance plan. By definition, you cannot be enrolled in HMO. I also want to mention that if you are, let's say, over 65,
mm-hmm. not yet, but soon.
But if you're over 65 and you're still a federal employee, mm-hmm. and you're enrolled in the Federal Employees Health Insurance, could you have an HSA? Could you be enrolled in an HSA with a high deductible plan? Sure. But one thing that these employees need to be aware of, that if one is enrolled in Medicare, they cannot contribute to the HSA. They cannot put money into the HSA. They can have the HSA, but they just can't put any more money into it. Okay. I'm saying that, Dan, it's because I encourage federal employees, once they reach 65, whether they are retired or working, to enroll in Medicare Part A, the hospital insurance, gotcha, which is free. There's no monthly premium because you prepaid the premiums for Medicare Part A over the years by paying the payroll tax.
Sure.
So here you're a federal employee, you're enrolled in, and you're over 65, you decide, I'm going to enroll in Medicare Part A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's no cost to you. You still have your health insurance. And if you have to go to the hospital, your federal employee's health insurance is still primary, and Medicare Part A will be secondary. But you sort of hurt yourself because the minute you enroll to Medicare Part A, you can no longer put money into that HSA.
Gotcha.
So you're better off holding off Medicare Part A until at least you retire.
Good point. So once again, I'm the Fed, and I've selected a high deductible health plan, so I could choose one of these options, you know, depending upon my situation and their availability. But I'm going to put the money in on a pre-tax basis for those health expenses, correct?
Yes, Dan. And I call the HSA has something called a trifecta tax benefit. As you said, the money going into the HSA, your contributions that you make, okay, mm-hmm, are done on a pre-tax basis.
Yep.
Pre-tax. In fact, if you look on your IRS Form 1040, don't mm-hmm ask me what line because I can't keep track of all the changes now, okay? There is a line that says HSA contributions.
Yep.
It's an adjustment to one's income. No matter what income level you're at, that HSA contribution will reduce your gross income, your saving on federal and state taxes.
Okay.
And then the money gets into the HSA.
Right.
It gets earnings.
Yes, it does.
It grows. And now it's another tax benefit. Now comes the third tax benefit. When you pull money out of the HSA to pay for qualified medical, dental, vision insurance, vision expenses.
Here comes the trifecta.
You don't pay any tax. You don't pay any tax. Also want to point out, yes, as I said, you can use your HSA to pay for out-of-pocket medical, dental, and vision expenses. You cannot use your HSA withdrawals to pay for insurance premiums, mm-hmm, with one exception.
What's
long-term
that exception?
Care insurance. If you have a long-term care insurance plan and you are paying premiums, you're paying premiums now with after-tax dollars, you would be allowed to pull money out of your HSA, not pay any taxes. The money has never been taxed, but you can pull the money out to pay your long-term care insurance premiums. Also, money withdrawn from the HSA can be used to pay for Medicare Part B premiums.
Really?
Yeah. This is a real benefit. I love these HSAs. I just want to mention one other thing, the real virtue of the HSA versus the healthcare FSA. If with the healthcare FSA, you do not use the money up,
right,
by the time you retire,
right,
you're going to lose that money. You cannot use your healthcare FSA in retirement, whereas the HSA, ooh, can be used throughout your life, including retirement.
I can tell you as planners, we love that tool in more ways than one. And you know, I've never called it the trifecta again, but I'm going to. So, you know, we needed use for qualified health expenses, dental, vision, and the ones that you mentioned. So in general, which is where we're trying to stay now, one of these options could be a plus for feds to consider. They probably should take the time to learn about it.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned to you, Dan, my next two FedZone columns in November will deal with the HSA and the FSAs.
Well, then why don't we plan on doing a show about that?
Absolutely. I'm more than happy to. Lots of information.
Okay. Any closing thoughts or comments on what we've covered today, Ed?
Yes, Dan. I just want to mention, we talked about the health insurance, we talked about the dental insurance, we talked about the vision insurance, we talked about the FSAs, the HSAs. I just want to say one thing, that federal employees, when you're making choices about your dental and vision insurance and your health insurance, don't let premium costs be the determining factor. Okay? You need to look at the whole overall situation. Your plan may be so that you like this plan as a result and it has the lowest premiums, but you may end up paying more out of pocket because of the low premium costs. And as a result, you'll pay the price on, I call it the back end, not on the front end. So gotcha. Be very careful. Also, I cannot emphasize enough, I don't care what insurance plan you choose, whether it's health, dental, vision, make sure that the doctors, hospitals, optometrist, dentist, whoever you go to, accepts the insurance. Please do your homework during open season and then make your final decision based on all the criteria we discussed today.
Great advice. Once again, Ed, don't know how you do it, but I'm glad you do it with us. Folks, that is a wrap. And we are Serving Those Who Serve. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on our YouTube channel. Remember to share it with your friends, strangers, people you don't like that much, sworn enemies. Get it out there. Check us out on Twitter and LinkedIn. And don't forget the seminars every month around the district, Maryland and Virginia, featuring the professor, the guru, Ed Zerndorfer. I'll say it again and again and again. Ed Live is an experience you don't want to miss. For more information, go to stwserve.com and click seminars and events. Be sure to read Ed every month in the Fed Zone. That is also to be found at blog.stwserve.com. So for Ed, the current Serving Those Who Serve, and me, Dan Seip, good luck, Godspeed, and above all, it's your Fed life. Please make it a great one because you deserve it. We are out.
Thank you for listening to the Fed Life Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Serving Those Who Serve or Raymond James. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated. Serving Those Who Serve is not a registered broker dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Raymond James is not affiliated and does not endorse the opinions or services of any of the quoted professionals or their respective firms. Any opinions are those of Dan Seip and not necessarily those of RJFS or Raymond James. This case study is for illustrative purposes only. Individual cases will vary.